Welcome to Wellness Wednesdays. I am your host, Eric Clard. This week, we got another special guest. We're talking about fitness, but slightly different episode of wellness. We're talking with John Ruby from Ashes to Rubies. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
So can you tell me a little bit about spiritual fitness and spiritual wellness? Because a lot of people, when they think of wellness, they think going to the gym and they think going to, you know, maybe the yoga class or a float, but they don't really think about going to church for a wellness. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, my take on that, we're kind of, obviously we know that we have a body and we can get physically fit and do cardio and run marathons and races. And that kind of thing, but we also are made in other parts. We have emotions, we have our thoughts and our mind, our intellect, but then also we have a spiritual component to us. And so if we neglect that, then we have emotional problems, relationship problems, you know, just overtired, oversleeping, that kind of thing, whereas if we just take care of our bodies, then, you know, that's great for running a marathon, but we also have a marathon of life that we have to live life on life's terms and get along with our spouses, our kids. And so I look at that end of things is looking at spiritual fitness as well as physical fitness. We're made to, and designed to function effectively when we are fit in all areas of our life, our emotional life, our spiritual life, and our physical life.
How would you, before we get into some more meat of this, how would you define spirituality?
Spirituality is basically, for me, it's connecting to a power greater than myself. So I can get so far down in life, and for me, it took me 32 years to kind of get to rock bottom, and I used medication in the forms of drugs and alcohol, and basically my life was ended at 32 when I tried to take my life. And so I reached out for another solution. Drugs and alcohol were my solution, and I needed another solution to live life on life's terms. So going through a process of spiritual fitness, I found that my spirit could connect with power greater than myself. I call him God. And so that's kind of the journey that I've been on since 2005.
And can you share a little bit more detail? And I don't want to, it's not about the gory details, but just how, because again, it doesn't just happen one day where you just hit rock bottom. There's a couple of different steps.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's where a lot of people can kind of connect with some of that. Whereas, like, you know, a lot of people, if you're going through a bad time and you see someone that's, or you hear about someone committing suicide, you're like, well, that sucks. But that's not, you know, you're not at that point yet. But there's a lot of, it seems like, and I can tell from my own experience and from seeing other folks, there's a couple different steps along the way. Can you share some of those steps with us?
Yeah, for sure. It's no different from physical fitness where, you know, last year I was working out and lifted too much weight and damaged some small muscles in my shoulder. And it took me about 3 months to come back from that, just nursing the wound. I had to go see a chiropractor. They stuck needles in me with electricity on it. And it was a big process to get back to a competent level of physical fitness again and lifting weights. But the same thing I found in my spiritual health. And there could be wounding in my spirit from just life in general. For me, I was adopted at 2 years old and taken to another country and raised in Indonesia. And so I had learning disabilities. I see letters backwards and they call that dyslexia. And I had some hyperactivity issues and
I can kind of see that.
They define that as ADD. Yeah. And so kind of like my shoulder wounding, I had wounds from that. I didn't feel good enough as the other kids around me. I felt that I always was going to get in trouble, that I was bad. I felt just a fear of being abandoned. And all that kind of stuff was kind of like this wounding. So my spirit wasn't strong. And I looked for other ways to compensate, like trying to prove myself, trying to be the best at everything. And over the course of time, that pressure just is too much. And, you know, in high school, when I found alcohol, that began my solution, because the wounding didn't even matter anymore.
You're really good at alcohol?
Yeah. I'm really good at that. And drank my wounding into numbness. And so just like anything, if you don't take care of your shoulder and just work through the pain, a lot of times that can cause severe damage. So kind of coming out of high school and still trying to prove myself, but getting mixed up with alcohol and drugs just to try and numb that pain so I can, run in the stream of life. Over the course of time of disappointments and covering up my drug use and all that, in 2005, I was let go from another job, my career. And I was just filled with such guilt and anxiety and failure that, I made a decision that it's better for me not to be here. I'm hurting my kids. I'm hurting my wife. And that kind of began the beginning of the end where I tried to take my life by not waking up on drugs, and that was a 2-month period. And through that time, I lost my sanity. I lost everything that I had value for. I lost.
And that's not an easy path. And I mean, I hope most people don't get there. But the thing I like about you is that you've kind of been there, and now you're giving back. Can you tell us a bit about some of the stuff that you're doing in the community?
Yeah, so just quickly to kind of leave that story, kind of seems hopeless, but
there is hope.
There is hope. I remember one evening I was sitting in my car. I had been up for 5 or 7 days. Things get foggy at that point, and in my head, I just heard a voice that said, "As you were hurt, abandoned, and abused, that's what you're doing to your kids and the ones you love and life in general." And I was really hit with the weight of that comment. It came out of nowhere. I had never thought of that before, but it really identified my wounding in my spirit. And it really hurt me because it made me realize of my wounding is what I'm doing to the ones I love. And I was shown 4 pictures kind of in my head. I saw a picture of dying a violent death, being in jail, being in a white padded room in a straitjacket, and then a white plain picture like a fuzzy TV. And so I felt compelled to pick one of those, and I picked the white picture. And over the course of time, I got into a rehab center downtown Ottawa at a homeless shelter. And that white picture started to be defined as hope, that there's another way of to live. Even though that there's wounding, there's a way to, be healed by that. It's not the same as a chiropractor and doctors and some of that stuff, but it came in the fact of I had to surrender my will and the way that my pain and my hurt, and then go through a process. I went through a rehab center. And here I am today, 11 years later. And so I just, through what I've been through, I've been able to develop a rehab center in conjunction with Jericho Road Ministries. And that's still up and going right now. It's a 9-month live-in men's addiction treatment center where we kind of study the disease of addiction and, bringing guys to a different solution. Out of that, in the last little while, I've created a kind of a movement or a platform, if you want to call it's called Ashes to Rubies. And basically, I just want to share our hope that I have in my life because I came from a place of hopelessness. I had a house, I had 2 cars, I had 2 children and a wife, and I was at a homeless shelter. To me, that's just a hopeless situation because I don't even know how to live. And I had all this stuff. Probably the only guy at the Ottawa Mission with a house. Thank God my wife paid the mortgage. And when I got sober, I still got to keep the house. So I was confused. And I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one with these feelings and emotions that drove me to drink and do drugs. But when I got into recovery, I realized that I was normal. I was like other people. And so I want to share that hope with people, whether you have an eating disorder, whether you're cutting yourself, whether you're drinking yourself to sleep every night or spending $1,000 a week on prostitution. It's all because there's wounding, and those things are the solution to your pain, but it's going to kill people. And so people feel isolated and alone in this because of, it's very dysfunctional in our society. So the Ashes to Rubies, we meet once a month, and we share inspiration, stories, and musical art, as well as visual art. And so on any given night, you could expect to see three stories of people that have overcome challenges and obstacles in their lives. And then we have musical guests. We have people that are singer-songwriters. Guys share their hip-hop story and stories through that. Guys share poetry or spoken word. And then we're introducing a new artist every month. And so it's kind of like I see my life as a blank canvas when I went into recovery. And over the course of the Ashes to Ruby show, you know, for that couple hours, they take a blank canvas and make something beautiful out of it. And so that's the hope that I have for everybody. So when they hear our stories, when they hear the music, that should help them to come from a place of hopelessness to say, hey, these guys understand, and I want to be part of this movement.
I like the fact that you know, just acknowledge the fact that we all have issues. I mean, people deal with them differently. Like, there's some folks who are, they can't really deal with some of their issues, and they go for a three-hour run. Is that healthier than having a glass of wine or doing some crack cocaine? I mean, there's obviously, yeah, there's measures of, but there's, everyone deals with, and we all go through stuff, whether it's temporary or permanent, or seems permanent, but how we deal with it and can be very, very different, mm-hmm, from the whole spectrum. I really like how you're kind of trying to give back now, and you've been down the dumps, you share some of those stuff, and now you're saying, okay, how can I be a platform for someone else? Mm-hmm. How, and I was at one of your events briefly, and I like that you're making it welcoming and making it kind of new school, in terms of most people don't want to go to a church, or most people these days don't, mm-hmm, want to do that. And you're trying to be preachy, or trying not to be preachy, but trying to share some information and some hope without kind of being old school and reading from the, you know, the Old Testament, for example. And then you're, yeah, trying to make it real. What was the idea behind it?
Well, for me, when I was adopted, my parents were Christians. I grew up as a missionary kid, and when we came back to Canada, my dad undertook a pastoral job, and I was just embarrassed and ashamed of that. And as my journey in church, it just wasn't relevant in my life. It didn't make sense to me. And, you know, probably at the end of the day, I should have listened to my parents, but it wasn't real. Yeah. And drugs and alcohol were real. And that became my solution. So realizing that has a bad end to it and some very severe consequences, going through my spiritual journey, I just want to invite people into a safe environment, not necessarily comfortable, because when you get confronted with behavioral issues or even addictions or whatever, like you say, it could be a safe addiction, like making tons of money and climbing a corporate ladder or going for 3, 4, 5 hour runs. Yeah. And really, the only person you're in competition with is yourself. So that at the end of the day has severe consequences, because you're actually competing against yourself. And next thing you know, you're on whatever medications, and the stress and anxiety and just the overall tiredness of your body isn't healthy. So both ends have severe consequences. So I want to create a safe place, and I look at what a safe place is where brokenness collides. So if I can share my brokenness with another person, it begins to be a safe place. Most times when you're out for at meetings or whatever, you don't share that you stayed up all night worrying about something that is out of your control, or you know, you drank yourself to sleep for the fifth time in a row. But I wanna create a safe place for people to be like, hey, I've been doing this pattern, or I'm stuck in this addiction, or whatever it is. So the way we create a safe place is just share our brokenness and share where we've been and what roads we've, you know, walked under and through. And then just, you know, I like music. So I have a couple guys that do hip hop and rap and do poetry. So it brings in kind of that urban feel. I have a friend, her name's Joanne, and she has a band called Honey and Rust, and she's an amazing kind of folk rock singer. So she's been helping out providing music as well. And the whole point of it is to inspire people, not to create this church, churchy atmosphere. Yeah, we meet in a church, but that's because we get good rent. Somebody else gave us good rent, maybe we'd meet somewhere else. Yeah.
No, but it's almost like you're trying to be the anti-church in terms of you're trying to get people to come together, but without downloading, you know, messages. Oh. And it's I've heard we've had a couple chats over the last couple months, and I really like the message that you were brought up kind of through the church. Mm. Or involved in church, and then you thought, you know, it's not really for me, went another path. And now I think you're kind of back in the church. I don't want to say business, but under a totally different avenue. And it's one of those things. I think, I mean, the spiritual aspect and the having a higher power, I think most people will agree. And there's been research that shows that is actually good for you, whether you believe in Allah or any other God. It's just the fact that you believe in something.
Yeah.
And you know, for bad days it gets you to look, okay, well today was a bad day, but tomorrow might be a little bit better. But how do you kind of reconcile the attitude you had in the past and the attitude you have now?
Yeah, I kind of I guess if you're not happy with something, but you have to do it, I guess that can bring about change, and really ignite people's passion, because I'm so passionate about my recovery process that, you know, I was going through this stuff as a kid. I was feeling all these emotions, and when I found alcohol, that was my solution. So kind of coming back to it, it made me want to be that change. And, you know, like I don't work a 9-to-5 job, and where I've come from, I've made a good salary, so I've given that up to do something for other people, and so I want to create that environment that they can really connect with spiritually, but also provide people with options. I get calls almost probably every day, one or two calls of somebody struggling with drugs and alcohol, or somebody struggling with a relationship. And, you know, I'm not the solution, you know, but I can point them to different avenues, different resources. And so even at our Ashes to Rubies shows, you know, it can talk to people. They feel safe to talk to, and then just be able to give them resources. You know, I'm not anybody's solution, but I can point them in the right direction. So how do I reconcile it? My passion wants to create something different than there used to be.
Okay.
If so that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, no, it does. And so how heavy are you on the, you know, the curriculum, shall we say, of God? Or are you just trying to become more of a hub for people to get better or feel safe?
Yeah, with the Ashes to Rubies movement, it's more about gathering people and bringing people in from hopeless situations. If you have a friend, maybe you can give them some advice, but, you know, maybe they've been drinking every night for the last 5 years and that's how they go to sleep. So the Ashes to
that's
Rubies.
Not good?
No. Oh, that's what you're doing.
Okay. I knew there was something. It cost me a lot of money, but I was like, it's
just
a good
habit. The way I go to sleep. But there can be, you know, somebody can come up to you and just ask about stuff, and you can give them some input and some advice. But the Ashes to Rubies show is a place where you could bring that person. Just to be encouraged to maybe decide to make some different choices. Yeah, we're not running a rehab center, and yeah, we're not running a psychological doctor's office where you can come and get psych evaluated and all that stuff, but there's resources out there for those people. So that's kind of the goal behind it, is just to share our hope, to let other people understand that there is a different way that we can relate to them. So I would invite anybody to this event. I wouldn't necessarily invite everybody to a church service.
Yeah.
But I would invite anybody, whether they're young or, you know, 16 years old and mom and dad are struggling with them because they're coming home smoking weed every day, that kind of thing, or an adult that you're friends with. That it would be a safe place to bring somebody to be connected. I think we really do well in community. A new person comes in, they feel awkward, they want to sit in the back row, but once they start hearing the stories and feel the music and that kind of thing, there's this community aspect that draw people in, because most of our spiritual problems really isolate us and really put us in a corner in a dark room, and community will help draw those people out and give them the hope that they need.
Well, again, you mentioned safe space earlier. It's all about kind of when you've got speakers or presenters that are being vulnerable, it only welcomes more vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, well, okay, say, obviously this gentleman or this lady is up there sharing. It's probably not about how they made $1 million last year. It's about, it's about how, you know, they're struggling with something. And then you're like, you know what? I'm struggling with something. It might not be the exact same thing, but then you feel like, again, that's I think that sense of community is huge. Mm-hmm. And most people are turned off by organized religion. I think, mm-hmm. I don't think this is a revelation to anyone, but, no. And then you're trying to kind of almost have the best of both worlds of having a nice kind of loose knit community while still providing a little bit of substance mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah, and I think there's a process too. Like this is kind of the front door, the center of hope, and just to invite people into that community. But then we do, as a church that I'm involved in, we do have resources from that. If somebody wants to go further or have exhausted other sources, we do have other resources behind it.
And we chatted a bit about spiritual fitness before, and you talked about, like, I think it was a 10-week course.
Lots of people wish it was 10 weeks, but it's five months. It's five months.
Okay. Yeah. So can you tell me a bit more about that and what the kind of, I don't say curriculum, but what people can expect if they're looking for, obviously, way more involvement?
Yeah, so that's more with our church, Union City Church group, and it's just a 5-month, kind of like a physical fitness. You go to the gym and you're feeling a little chunky after the holidays, and you're like, I wanna do something about my weight. You know, maybe drop 20, 30 pounds, and you go to the gym and you see a fitness trainer, and they say, okay, well, this is a big commitment for the next 5 months. This is going to be the result, maybe 20 pounds that you're willing to lose, and they give you a food. They give you a food plan, they give you a cardio plan and a weight plan, and you got to go see your fitness trainer 3 times a week. It's kind of like that, where we look at that as a spiritual fitness, and we just look at connecting spirit to spirit with God. So we look at what are the obstacles that get in the way of that. We introduce daily practices into our lives. We've understood that our brain patterns can be formed differently when we're on addictive substances. So just kind of getting your brain back to fitness, getting your emotions back to a good fitness level. This world will bring us storms and troubles. You know, like even though you're a church person or a pastor or whatever, whoever you are, a government worker, we all have problems. This world will have its problems. And so our goal is to be able to get through these problems safely, emotionally, maturely. So we look at our emotional health and our spiritual health together. So that's a 5-month commitment. We do a class 1 night a week. There's a lot of homework. There's a lot of digging. We give you a fitness trainer. We give you what we call a pace setter. So this is somebody that's been through the journey before. And they're not a counselor, they're not your problem solver, they're here to just listen and go through the homework and then just encourage you to do the daily practices to keep you on pace. You look at the process, it's kind of like climbing a mountain. You know, we have the first couple months and it's kind of getting your cardio training and you're going to make the trek way up this mountain. So it's kind of like that process of this 5-month training program where we start getting our cardio and then we head up the mountain. And we do it with a partner, we do it together, and we do it as a community.
And what kind of results are you getting from these?
Well, I've kind of developed this out of my experience of recovery from drugs and alcohol, and then developing a treatment center for the last 8 years. I've taken those concepts of healing and brought them into a 5-month course. Out of the 19 people that started our first public one in, when did we start? In September, we had 12 of them graduate. So anybody that finishes graduates. Yeah. And just like any physical fitness, most people, if you go to the gym, it's super busy January and February. And then by March, you got the machines to yourself. There's crickets happening. Yeah. So it's the same idea where this is a big commitment. And it demands change. You will change. And so the results have been fantastic where we've had, guys with severe even porn addictions and anger problems and emotional eating and those kind of problems. And they've had some of these men and women have had struggles their whole, entire lives. And then they've seen freedom in the last few months. And a bunch of them are pace setters for the next group. So we have another 11 people signed up for February. So we're 5 weeks into our new Life Lab. Okay. So the results have been good. The people that have graduated are now pace setting. They're more excited about the pace setting than the actual participants of this class. So I kind of train and help the pace setters to be able to be of best use to the new pacees that are coming in.
And I love that you talk about basically changing, and you have to change, whether you're an obese person trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to move more, whether you're trying to become more spiritual, you have to do. If you do the exact same thing you did the last 5 months, you're probably not going to get very far. But I also love that what you talked about in terms of it's all about changing certain habits. Mm-hmm. Certain habits get you in trouble or get you not where you want to go. And then now you have to kind of, and some education and obviously some, like, literally the habit changing. So what do you think are the biggest habits to get into a better spiritual space?
I think having number one is probably having a morning time. Just getting up early in the morning. I do a devotional where I connect with my higher power. I do a reading and I do some writing, and it just centers my whole day. It makes me feel good. It connects me spiritually. I usually try and get a little bit of oatmeal in there, and then I try and hit the gym a little bit. But morning is super important. For me, the disciplines of I try not to have too much caffeine intake. I'm wired to be caffeinated naturally.
You're high on life.
I'm high on life, baby. And then, just having good habits of sleep and that kind of thing. Also, helping other people. I think that's a major key, whether it's volunteering your time, whether it's being, plugging into an organization like us with Ashes to Rubies or with the Life Lab and helping out with pace setting. Just being involved in another person's life, you quickly forget about your problems. Sometimes I can be talking about my problems, and then I think of a couple of guys in our Life Lab, and I'm just like, man, I got no problems. Like, my problems are so minuscule compared to some of the guys that I'm helping out that you forget about them. And so to me, being spiritually fit pours into my emotions, and I start to become emotionally fit, and I can deal with life's problems as they come.
And it's funny that you mentioned that community aspect, because we had a guest on, a chiropractor, which we talked more about, obviously some physical stuff, but he mentioned all the stuff you just mentioned in terms of giving back and building community, because they're doing some work in World Spine Care. They're doing some work all over the world in a lot of developing countries, so it's nice to see that a lot of similarities, whether you're in the same, I don't want to say business, but same industry or not. It's a lot of great lessons. Whether you believe in God or not, we're not trying to create a churchgoers. It's just getting people to think
slightly different about some of the spiritual process.
That's right.
Couple things. Thanks for sharing all that information. I know it's not easy. I mean, I know you've shared a couple times before, so it's not going to be the cover of.
Thanks
of,
for talking. Of the thanks for listening.
Yeah. And one more question before I wrap up. Another our last question is: what does wellness mean to you?
Wellness means that I have a combination throughout my whole body of healthiness. So spiritual health, emotional health, and physical health. And wellness to me is that through my body's health, then I can deal with whatever problems that there are. Because if we have kids, we have work, there's always stuff that comes up. But it's just, I am well enough to deal with life on life's terms.
Very nice.
Was that a good answer?
That was a very good answer. Yeah. It's funny because I ask that to everyone and I get all kinds of answers, and that's part of the fun. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing this. I get to learn about all kinds of people every week. It's been great that way.
Yeah.
And one last thing, where can people find out more about Ashes to Rubies and all the great stuff?
AshesToRubies.com. We got a website. And then we do shows every last Thursday of the month. Okay. We're gearing up to maybe October, November. We're going to do a showcase, so it'll be kind of like a big concert. We're going to show our art. We're going to show some of the artists and introduce them. We may have an auction, and then we're going to have a headliner most likely, and then just share what we've been doing all year through stories and song and hip-hop and spoken word poetry. So last Thursday of the month at 2 Monk Street, 7:00, doors open, show starts at 8:00. And yeah, I think, is that it? Is that all you need?
Yeah, and then I'll link all the, because you're on social media as well, I'll link all that.
Yeah, we have Ashes to Rubies Instagram. You can find us there. More encouraging posts. We do have clothing. That I post
very
as well.
Stylish
very
clothing.
Stylish clothing. Yeah. We like to. The
and you're one of the models, aren't you?
I'm one of the models. Yeah, you can see me online modeling. But you know,
I think what you're trying to say is, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
If I can do it, anyone can do it. And and for the underdog, the guy that came from nothing, the guy that came from a blank canvas. A lot of us like to rep what we where we come from. So we have kind of a line of clothing to do that.
Okay, very cool. Again, thank you so much, and until next week, be well.
Very good. Be well.